Okay, so get the, you shared this blog called smb3bw.txt, and it's about this college student
Okay.
who thinks he's playing a haunted
Oh,
Super Mario Bros. 3 ROM haunted. Can you believe that?
what's interesting to me is how the blogger's presenting this. It's like he's genuinely terrified.
Oh, yeah, totally. And he's saying he got like 5,000 followers in just 2 days from this blog,
Yeah, that does seem
which
like a very
aren't.
sudden surge in popularity
You're
for
right.
such a niche topic.
Makes you wonder. But okay, let's focus on like what he's actually saying about the game. He keeps mentioning this blood whistle item as like the source of all the weirdness.
The blood whistle seems to be like the central element of this ROM hack, and it's described as this kind of warped version of like a regular in-game item, but it's got like blood and pentagrams and other disturbing imagery.
Disturbing. On an 8-bit NES game. Come on. And he
Whoa.
even claims the levels themselves get all distorted when this blood whistle appears. It's like he thinks he's playing some cutting-edge horror game, not Super Mario Bros. 3.
It's an interesting way to frame it, taking something so familiar and innocent, like a childhood video game, and twisting it into something sinister.
Sinister. How sinister can a bunch of pixels be? But okay, let's hear about this sinister stuff. He mentions Toad's skull being cracked open with like blood splattering everywhere.
He describes this bizarrely realistic blood texture that shouldn't even be possible on the original NES hardware.
Come on, maybe he just needs to clean his TV screen. And then there's this sound he keeps going on about this blood whistle, supposedly plays this deep, disturbing tune, like straight out of a horror movie.
Well, yeah, it's classic horror storytelling,
Sure.
using vivid imagery and sound to evoke a sense of dread and unease in the reader.
Yeah, but in this case, it's all happening in his head, right? It's not like the game is actually haunted. Anyway, moving on. He seems way too concerned about Mario's well-being in all this. I mean, it's just a video game character, right?
That is a key element here. He's so fixated on like the ways Mario gets hurt in the game,
Okay.
burned alive, having his heart ripped out.
First of all, can Mario even have his heart ripped out in the original Super Mario Bros. 3?
Well,
And second, who gets emotionally attached to a plumber made of pixels?
he even claims that Mario drowns in one of the levels.
Drowns? Isn't like half of Super Mario World set underwater? What is he talking about? This guy clearly doesn't know the first thing about the game.
Well, that's what makes it so strange. He's imposing these very human limitations onto a video game character who, by definition, operates outside of those rules.
It's like he's trying to convince himself the game is more real than it is. Maybe he's just trying to make his blog sound more exciting. Oh, and speaking of exciting, did you get to the part where he compares playing this game to D-Day?
He does mention
Oh,
feeling a growing sense of fear and isolation as he plays.
isolated with thousands of followers, eagerly reading his blog. Give me a break. This is Super Mario Bros., not some military operation.
But it is worth noting that his mental state does seem to deteriorate alongside Mario's in-game suffering. He mentions having nightmares, seeing strange images on his laptop.
Maybe he just needs to take a break from the game and get some sleep.
Whoa.
Okay, let's get to the good stuff. What actually happens in this supposedly haunted game?
Okay, well, things take kind of a disturbing turn. When he reaches World 3, he describes this encounter with a giant fish.
Oh, yeah, the one where Mario supposedly gets his limbs torn off.
That's actually kind of funny, if you think about it. I mean, how much common sense do you need to avoid a giant toothy fish?
Well, he's clearly not thinking straight at this point. He's caught in this spiral of like fear and obsession with this game.
You know what I'm starting to think? This whole thing is a big act. Like he's deliberately playing up the drama for those internet points.
Okay, let's not dismiss his experience entirely. Whether real or fabricated, he is tapping into something primal here. The fear of the unknown, the corruption of something familiar.
Maybe you're right. It's like watching a bad horror movie. It's not real, but you can't help but get a little freaked out.
Exactly. There's a certain morbid curiosity at play.
So what happens next? Does our brave blogger survive World 3? Or should I say, does Mario survive World 3?
Well, let's just say World 3 is just the beginning. Things get even more bizarre from here on out.
Oh, this is gonna be good. Or should I say bad? I can't wait to see what other ridiculous things this guy comes up with.
We'll delve into the rest of the story in the next part of our deep dive. Stay tuned.
Okay, so last time we were in the trenches of this haunted Super Mario Bros. 3 ROM, trying to figure out if our blogger friend is a tech whiz, a creative writer, or just plain delusional.
It really is a fascinating blend of like technical details and emotional reactions.
Yeah.
Isn't it? He seems to have like a decent understanding of how ROM hacks work.
Uh-huh.
But then he layers on these dramatic interpretations that are, well, let's just say they're unique. Unique is one way to put it. Remember how he kept comparing playing this game to D-Day?
Oh, yeah?
The guy's acting like he's storming the beaches of Normandy.
Yeah.
But he's just sitting in his dorm room with a joystick.
I mean, there's definitely like a disconnect between the perceived threat and like the reality of the situation.
Exactly.
But I think that disconnect is precisely what makes this whole story so intriguing.
Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
So where did we leave off? Oh, yeah, Mario had just been turned into fish food in World 3.
Right.
What kind of messed up stuff does he find in World 4?
Actually, World 4 begins with a rather unexpected twist.
Okay.
Remember Princess Peach?
Yeah, the damsel in distress. You mean she gets a blood-soaked makeover, too?
In a way, the blogger describes a scene where Peach appears in a letter.
Okay.
But she's clearly not herself. Her eyes are glowing red.
Uh-huh.
She's strawling against Bowser, and she utters this chilling line, "Blood whistle, hear its cry."
Wait, so Peach is in cahoots with this blood whistle thing?
Yeah, it seems that way.
That's a pretty dark turn for a character who's usually all about baking cakes and getting kidnapped.
It certainly subverts her traditional role. Instead of being a victim, she's now seemingly aligned with whatever force is behind this twisted game.
I don't know. It sounds like our blogger is getting a little carried away with the whole evil Peach thing. Maybe he just needs to adjust the color settings on his emulator. But okay, let's play along.
Okay.
What happens next? Does Peach turn into some kind of supervillain and laser beams Mario to death?
So the blogger doesn't go into detail about what happens immediately after that scene.
Okay.
But he does describe a disturbing encounter in the next level.
Okay.
He runs into a horde of Koopas and Goombas.
Uh-huh.
But instead of attacking Mario, they all commit mass suicide in a variety of gruesome ways.
Hold on. The enemies are killing themselves.
Yeah.
Did they get tired of being stomped on by Mario for the past 30 years? I'm telling you, this guy's making stuff up.
It's certainly an unexpected twist.
Right.
And the blogger describes it in quite graphic detail, focusing on the blood and gore.
Of course he does.
That Mario is forced to wade through.
Got to keep those readers coming back for more. And speaking of readers, he's up to like tens of thousands of followers by this point.
Yeah.
But he's raking in the ad revenue from all those clicks.
Well, his newfound fame doesn't seem to be doing much for his mental state.
Hmm.
He mentions feeling increasingly paranoid and isolated.
Hmm.
And he even claims that someone reported him to the campus police.
Seriously,
right? Making suicidal comments.
Suicidal comments over a Super Mario Bros. ROM hack.
Yeah.
The guy needs to get a grip. It's a game.
Yeah.
Not a suicide pact.
It does seem like an extreme reaction.
Yeah.
But it highlights the potential dangers of blurring the lines between online content and real life.
Yeah.
Especially when you have like a large audience hanging on your every word.
You know, this whole thing would be a lot more believable if we were talking about like some creepy new indie horror game.
Mm-hmm.
Not a 30-year-old Nintendo classic.
Yeah.
But hey, maybe I'm just a jaded old gamer.
Maybe. Or maybe there's something about like the familiar and nostalgic that makes it even more unsettling when it's twisted into something dark and disturbing.
Okay, fine. I'll give you that. So what happens after the suicidal Koopas? Does Mario finally get a power up that lets him summon an exorcist?
Not quite. World 5 takes a different approach to the horror.
Okay.
Instead of focusing on the graphic violence,
It
leans more into psychological torment.
Ooh, psychological torment. Sounds scary. Does Bowser put on a lab coat and start running experiments on Mario?
There's a scene where Mario is forced to play a twisted version of the card game.
Okay.
From the original game.
Uh-huh.
But this time, Toad is the one who suffers the consequences.
Oh, no.
If the player loses, Toad is beheaded by a guillotine.
Wait, Toad gets beheaded?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What is this guy's obsession with dismemberment?
Well.
And poor Toad. He's like the nicest guy in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Oh.
What did he ever do to deserve such a gruesome fate?
It's another example of how this ROM hack takes those familiar, innocent elements of the original game and twists them into something horrifying.
You know, this whole thing is starting to sound less like a haunted game and more like a bad acid trip.
Okay.
But, okay, let's hear about World 6. What fresh hell awaits Mario in this one?
World 6 is where the game's cruelty seems to reach like a new level.
Oh, but boy.
The blogger describes this vast, empty landscape made entirely of frozen blood.
Okay.
There are no enemies, no obstacles, just Mario and this desolate, icy wasteland.
Wait, no enemies? That doesn't sound so bad, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe Mario could finally catch a break and, like, build a snowman or something.
It's not the lack of enemies that's the problem. It's the fact that Mario is left completely exposed to the elements.
Okay.
A blizzard picks up and Mario, despite having the raccoon suit, is unable to withstand the freezing temperatures.
He freezes to death. Seriously. Right. I mean, I know it's a spooky ROM hack, but come on.
Yeah.
That's just lazy game design.
The blogger describes the scene in agonizing detail, focusing on Mario's slow, painful demise.
Yeah, I'm starting to think this blogger might be a bit of a drama queen.
Yep.
He's really laying it on thick with the emotional descriptions.
Yeah.
But, okay, let's move on. Does Mario magically thaw out in World 7?
Well, he's resurrected by the blood whistle, as always,
okay,
and transported to World 7. And this one is truly horrifying.
Oh.
The blogger describes it as, like, a literal depiction of hell.
Literal hell?
Yeah.
Okay, now I know he's exaggerating. Mm-hmm. It's an 8-bit Nintendo game. How much hell can they possibly fit in there?
He describes bodies chained and tortured.
Uh-huh.
Fires burning with, like, realistic flames.
Okay.
Walls and floors made of flesh and bone.
All right, fine. I'll give him that. That does sound pretty disturbing.
Yeah.
But is there any actual gameplay in this level? Or is Mario just stuck watching a slideshow of demon torture?
There is gameplay, but it's overshadowed by the horrifying imagery and, like, the sense of impending doom.
Okay.
And it's in this level that Mario faces the ultimate betrayal.
Don't tell me Luigi turns evil and joins Bowser.
Not Luigi. It's Princess Peach.
Peach again. What is she doing this time, leading a demonic Zumba class?
He describes a scene where Peach, wielding the blood whistle and a bloody dagger, systematically murders Bowser and all of his sons.
Hold up. Peach goes on a killing spree.
Yeah.
This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be the damsel in distress, not a serial killer.
Yeah.
What's her blogger friend's reaction to all this?
He's horrified, of course. Bowser. And then Peach turns on Mario, slashing him with the dagger and mocking his pain.
Poor Mario.
Hmm.
The guy just can't catch a break, can he?
Nope.
But honestly, I'm not sure what's more unbelievable. The fact that Peach is a mass murderer or the fact that this blogger seems to be taking it all so seriously.
It's in this moment of ultimate despair that Mario delivers his final message.
Hmm.
As he's burning in the flames of hell, he looks directly at the player and says, "Do not let your life be as painful as mine was."
Wow, that's surprisingly profound for a pixelated plumber.
Yeah.
You know, for all the jokes we've been making, I can't help but feel a little bad for this guy.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's really lost in this whole fantasy world he's created.
It's a reminder that even the most outlandish stories can have a powerful emotional impact on those who believe them.
So what happens next? Does Mario escape from hell? Does Peach get her just desserts?
The game ends with Peach laughing triumphantly as Mario burns.
Oh, my goodness.
The blogger closes the emulator defeated.
Yeah.
But that's not the end of the story. The real climax takes place outside the game.
Okay.
In the final blog entry, he reveals his intention to end his own life.
He's actually going to do it over this game. This is insane. What was he thinking?
We can only speculate, but it seems clear that he was deeply troubled.
Yeah.
This ROM hack, whether real or imagined, became like a focal point for his despair.
So what happens? Does he actually go through with it?
His roommate finds him dead a few hours later. He used a recorder, the same instrument he played as a child, to take his own life.
That's tragic. It's a reminder that the internet, for all its wonders, can be a dark and dangerous place.
Yeah.
And sometimes the line between fantasy and reality can become tragically blurred.
It's a cautionary tale, for sure.
Yeah.
And it raises a lot of important questions about the impact of online content.
Right.
The responsibility we have to each other in the digital age.
Yeah.
And the importance of seeking help when we're struggling.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I guess we'll have to find out what happens in the next part of our deep dive. Stay tuned, folks. And in the meantime, remember, it's just a game. So we're back and picking up where we left off with this whole Super Mario Bros. 3 blood whistle thing.
Yeah.
And sounds like our blogger friend is going off the deep end.
It really does seem that way.
Yeah. I mean, come on. The guy's comparing a ROM hack to like a near-death experience.
Yeah. And he keeps mentioning those 5,000 followers he gained in just 2 days.
Right. Like that's supposed to make his story more believable or something.
It does seem like he's trying to add credibility to his claims.
Yeah. But honestly, I think it just makes him sound more desperate for attention.
Well, attention can be a powerful motivator.
Okay, true. But let's get back to the game itself. Yeah. So last time we were talking about World 6.
Right. That vast wasteland of frozen blood.
Yeah, frozen blood. Come on. Who comes up with this stuff?
Well, it's certainly a memorable image.
Memorable, maybe. But also completely ridiculous. And then Mario freezes to death.
Yeah, despite having the raccoon suit.
Right? You'd think he'd be immune to the cold with that thing.
You'd think so. But the blogger makes a point of emphasizing Maria's vulnerability.
Yeah. Well, maybe he just needs to learn how to use the darn suit properly. Anyway, what happens next?
So Mario is resurrected by the Blood Whistle, of course.
Of course. Because that makes perfect sense.
And he's transported to World 7.
And that's where things get really crazy, right?
That's where he encounters his literal depiction of hell.
Literal hell in a Super Mario Bros. Game. I'm telling you, this guy's got an overactive imagination.
Well, he describes it in vivid detail, bodies chained in tortured fires burning with realistic flames.
Okay, stop. I can already see the comments section exploding with people calling him out for exaggerating.
Well, whether it's real or imagined, it's clearly having a profound impact on him.
Yeah, that's the thing that worries me. He's so caught up in this fantasy world that he's losing touch with reality.
Just a slippery slope.
So what happens in this hell level? Does Mario fight Satan himself?
It's actually Princess Peach who takes center stage in this final showdown.
Peach, again.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, what is her deal?
Well, she's clearly not the damsel in distress we all remember.
No kidding? She's like a bloodthirsty tyrant now.
The blogger describes a scene where she murders Bowser and all of his sons.
With the blood whistle, I'm assuming?
Wielding both the blood whistle and a bloody dagger.
Oh, great. We need a weaponized Peach.
And then she turns on Mario.
You're kidding.
Stabbing him with the dagger and mocking his pain.
Or Mario. The guy just can't catch a break.
It's a pretty brutal scene.
Yeah. And I'm sure our blogger friend is eating it all up.
Well, it's in this moment of ultimate despair that Mario delivers his final message.
Oh boy, here we go.
As he's burning in the flames of hell, he looks directly at the player and says, "Do not let your life be as painful as mine was."
Okay, that's actually kind of deep. I mean, for a dying video game character.
It's a surprisingly poignant moment.
But come on, let's be real here. It's just a game.
Right. But for the blogger, it's clearly become much more than that.
So what happens next? Does Mario somehow escape from hell? Does Peach get what's coming to her?
The game ends with Peach laughing triumphantly as Mario burns.
No way. That's messed up.
The blogger closes the emulator defeated, but the story doesn't end there.
Oh boy. I have a bad feeling about this.
In his final blog entry, he reveals his intention to end his own life.
Seriously. He's going to kill himself over this game.
It seems that the lines between fantasy and reality have become tragically blurred for him.
So what happens? Does he actually go through with it?
His roommate finds him dead a few hours later.
Oh, man. This is heavy.
He used a recorder to take his own life.
A recorder? Like the musical instrument?
The same one he played as a child.
That's just heartbreaking. You know, we've been making a lot of jokes about this whole thing.
Yeah.
But this is a real tragedy.
It's a reminder that the internet can be a dark and dangerous place.
Yeah, and that we need to be careful about the content we consume and the impact it can have on us.
It's a lesson we should all take to heart.
Well, that's our deep dive into the Super Mario Bros. 3 Blood Whistle ROM hack. A strange, disturbing, and ultimately tragic story.
It certainly makes you think.
It does. And on that note, we'll leave you with this. What happens when the games we play start to play us?